You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
So last year we were challenging ourselves with being a follower, not just a fan. Getting into the game, being a part of what God is doing. Not just sitting back and not just choosing what we want to do, but actively being a part of it. And I suppose we could have actually said being a disciple of Christ. But we thought if we said a disciple of Christ, then everyone would have turned off, because that's just like saying we've got to do evangelism, or we want to talk about tithes and offerings this morning, or we want to talk about prayer or fasting, which we will be doing in a few weeks' time. So we thought follower, not just a fan. And it was a great theme and a great theme that we continue. But we're going to add a twist, or I'm going to add a twist to my messages this year. And the fact that if we are going to be followers, then we've got to be what Jesus told us to do. We've got to be his disciples. We've got to put into action what it means to be a follower. And so, if you think about that, probably the easiest and the quickest way of understanding what God told us to do, or Jesus told us to do, was to look at the Great Commission. Let me read it to you. He said to them, "You are to go out into all the world and to preach the good news to every person. And he who puts his trust in me is baptized will be saved from the punishment of sin. But he who does not put his trust in me is guilty and will be punished forever." So first of all, we understand why we've got to preach. We've got to teach. We've got to share the good news. Because those that don't know or don't hear or don't accept Jesus will have the punishment of sin for eternity. But then there are those that are going to hear and they're going to accept, they're going to receive the word, and they're going to be relieved of that and have eternal life. So first of all, let's have a passion for the lost. Let's have a passion for those that don't know Christ. You know, I don't think we really understand the beauty of the peace of God, the beauty of knowing Jesus. Many of us have known Jesus most of our lives. Many of us have come into the things of Christ because of our families, because of being brought up in church. And to see the difference, we don't understand. But for those that have found Christ later on in life, they tell you the change that happens in their life. I had the joy late last year of interviewing a whole lot of staff for Oxy Kids. And one of the delights I have when I interview staff is I get to hear their testimony. One of the things that stood out to me this year as I was interviewing staff was how many people had had a life-transforming experience later on in life and had come to know Christ later on in life. And the other thing that stood out to me, which was incredible, was how quickly these ones that had found Christ at a mature age had put on Christ and started to act and to do what Christ's word says. And as they did it, their life transformed and changed dramatically, to the point that there was no turning back, because they could see the difference in their lives. We have to share the gospel. We have to share the life of Christ that people might come to know him. And we're living in a world, an age, where there's more and more and more people that haven't grown up in Sunday school, that haven't grown up in an environment like this, that do not understand what Christianity is all about. They just put Christianity with every other religion. That's a nice thing to do. In fact, believe it or not, I think Christianity is on the nose at the moment in the world because of the way the media is talking. And so we must share Christ. And that was one of the things that Christ told us to do. And then he said, "These special powerful works will be done by those who put their trust in me." Don't you like that? These special powerful works. That should give us an indicator of what it's all about. "In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with a language they've never learnt. In my name, they will pick up snakes. And if they drink any poison, it will not hurt them. In my name, they will put their hands on the sick and they will be healed." And again, oftentimes we say the thing that is the easiest to say. We'll pray for the sick and they will be healed. But what about the snakes? What about the poison? In short, we shouldn't have any fear. We should be able to go into any situation, any circumstance, Luke says, "Behold, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy, and nothing in any way shall harm you." All the work of the enemy, and nothing in any way shall harm you. We have been given a great commission. It's more than just a statement. It's more than just words. It is what Jesus has told us to do, and that what we can do. So I asked the question last week, and I continue to ask the question. I probably will continue to ask the question. And I asked the question of myself as well. Why don't we do this? Why haven't we been doing this? Well, we can easily add some things there. Lack of faith, unbelief. What if it doesn't work? What if I get rejected? I've tried once before and it didn't happen. We've got lots of excuses, lots of reasons why we aren't doing it. But then we should be encouraged, because we're no different to the disciples when Jesus was around. They asked him this question. And again, this is one of those scriptures that I will repeat regularly throughout the year. What are we to do that we might habitually be working the works of God? Not once, not twice, but habitually. It becomes a part of our daily living. What are we to do to carry out what God requires? Now, if the disciples ask that question, I can ask that question. Jesus, how are we going to do your works? What do we have to do to see your works taking place like you've challenged us to do? Jesus would not have given us a great commission. He wouldn't have told us what to do if he didn't expect us to do it. And I don't believe it was just for the book of Acts. I don't believe it was just for the apostles. I believe it is for now as much as it was for then. So, last week we started looking at the book of Acts, because I think the book of Acts is one of the most amazing books in the Bible in regard to building faith, in regard to challenging us, in regard to giving us living testimonies of what the power of God is all about. The book of Acts reveals to us how God is going to work through us. Hear me? How God is going to work through us. The book of Acts is the record of the power exercised by disciples in the midst of persecution. Remember, Jesus had just been crucified. Christianity was again on the smell over there. But the disciples wiped the dust off their feet, wiped the dust of the rejection of Christ and his message off their feet, wiped the dust off their feet in regard to the thought of what the crucifixion was all about, the ridicule of the trial. And they put into practice what Jesus told them to do. It's an account of life and health being poured into a sick society. God using obscure men and women. People not much different to you and me. In fact, a society that's not much different to where we're at right now. So last week, and I encourage, if you weren't here and you want to listen to it and get a foundation of what we shared last week, Get onto the podcast and download it and just listen to it. We looked at a number of keys or foundational truths that Luke highlighted in chapter 1. For I believe that those keys that he highlights in chapter 1 in the first 14 verses, if we have those keys, if we understand those keys, if we believe those keys, we're on the right path then to start to do his acts. The first key that Luke highlighted to us was that Jesus is alive. He talked about the proofs of that, and we talked about those proofs. They saw him, they ate with him, they talked with him, they touched his side. He walked with them for 40 days. And for us, the fact that Jesus is alive, the fact of that resurrection power, the fact that what Jesus said he did should give us incredible hope. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a name. We don't serve somebody who has a history book of the past. We serve somebody who gave up life in heaven and humbled himself as a man to come and live with us, that he might defeat death and hell at the cross, and that he might rise again, not stay dead, but rise again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. That to me is an incredibly powerful thing, to know that Jesus is alive. Now, the second one we'll talk about in a minute, but the third one, which we didn't talk about, but Pastor Hal is going to open up for us in a month or two's time, is the fact that we have an assurance that Jesus is going to return again. We don't have to look at when he's going to return or how he's going to return or what it's going to be like that it's going to return. We just need to know and understand that Jesus is returning. And we need to know that that's important, because Jesus would never have said to his disciples, be aware of the signs and the times. Jesus, the Bible says, is returning to a bride that he's repairing right now. A bride without spot and blemish. We are that bride. We've talked about that in times past. Pastor Hal has shared with us his journey on the highway of holiness. We should not be scared of that word holiness. We should not be scared of that word purity, because our hearts should be always desirous to be more and more like Christ, to take more and more of the promised land that Christ has given to us, our inheritance, which is rightfully ours. So one of the keys that we have is, not only is Jesus alive, but he's coming back. He's coming back in victory. He's coming back to receive us, his bride. And then the second key, and the one that we opened up a little bit, was the key of the promise of the Father. We've talked a lot about this. In 2012 at night, the whole of our Bible school for a whole year was on the work of the Holy Spirit. The year before, I did 8 weeks on just discussing the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. There is so much about the promise of the Father that we have not tapped into. And apart from knowing Jesus is alive, and apart from knowing he's coming back, this is the major key, I think, to doing the works that Christ has called us to do. Why? Because Jesus knew that without being filled with his Spirit, we'd never be able to achieve what he was commissioning us to do. We'd never be able to stand against the onslaughts of the devil. We'd never be able to destroy and get rid of the fears and the doubts and the unbelief that we have. Because we all have them. We're man, we're human. The Bible says that God in Psalms, God knows our flesh is but dust. He knows the weaknesses that we have. He knows that we're going to fall short of his glory. He knows that we're going to sin. He would never have put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible if he thought that we weren't going to sin. And so he knows for us to do his works, and even greater works, that we're going to have help. Jesus said in John 16:7, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say to you, it is profitable, it is good, it is excellent, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Now, I'm sure that the disciples would not have thought so. Why don't you stay? Hey, it's nice seeing miracles. It's nice seeing people raised from the dead. It's nice seeing 5,000, 7,000 fed. It's nice seeing people have legions cast out of them. But here's Jesus telling them, hey, it's advantageous that I go, because Jesus knew what was going to happen. He said, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, now, just as much as Jesus' name has many meanings, Satan's name has many meanings, the Holy Spirit's name has many meanings. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we can talk about the Comforter. We can talk about the Counselor. We can talk about the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Amplified says. If I don't go away, then the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you. That is, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And that's why Jesus told the disciples to wait in that upper room until the promise of the Father came. You see, Jesus had to go and he had to sit at the right hand of the Father. And as soon as he was there, the Holy Spirit was sent to earth to be all of those things that God told us, that Jesus told us. One of the things that I love about that thought is that again it indicates to us and it gives us that seal that Jesus is alive and he has arrived. You think, you go on holidays, you go overseas, and we do it all the time now, don't we? We go overseas and the first thing we do is we arrive in a country and we text or we email or we do, FaceTime? We do something that indicates to the people back home that we're arrived. We've arrived in Dubai, we've arrived in Abu Dhabi, we've arrived in England, we've arrived in Uganda. Wherever we are, we've arrived. When I first started traveling in 1975, you didn't hear from anybody until they got back. It was just too expensive to send telegrams. To send a telegram, you just couldn't afford to do that. Anyone know what a telegram is? Just all the old people, put your hand up. Jesus has arrived. And he has not texted us, not FaceTimed us, but he has sent his Spirit to tell us that what he said has happened. He's alive, he's there, and you've got the seal already inside of you. You only have to look at the difference in Peter's demeanor. You only have to look in the first chapters of Acts to see the miracles, to see the things that took place with these pack of whinging, weak disciples who ran away, who deserted him, who denied him. Here's Peter on the same steps where Jesus was crucified. Here's Peter walking along the same roads that he used to always walk with Jesus, now doing mighty works. But not only is he doing it, but the people that he used to pass who didn't cry out and ask to be healed were crying out, "Heal me, do this, do that. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you," Peter would say. We see Paul casting out mocking spirits, dealing with so many things. Why? Because the Spirit of God now dwells, now rules, now reigns within inside them. So I think, well, I don't think I know. I know that I know that I know, not only because the Bible says so, but because it's true. I experience it. We will never, ever, ever be effective as Christians if we're not operating, walking in, utilizing, taking hold of the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. And I think half the reason we see such a weak church around the world is because we're trying to do it on our own. Or we have de-Holy Spirited our lives. Because when you're walking in the power, when you're living in the power, when you're allowing the Spirit to guide you, the Bible says that you are the sons of God. And we're going to look at some of the things that come upon you when you are living by the Spirit. But the opposite is, if you're not living by the Spirit, then you're living by the flesh. You're pushing away the Spirit and you're turning towards the flesh and you're ruling with the flesh. You're allowing the flesh to rule and reign. Hence, we have so much materialism, so many other things crowding out lives. Because when you have the Holy Spirit leading and ruling, it does quench a lot of the flesh, I can tell you. You are convicted a lot more because you're being led. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." What kind of power? Well, Holy Spirit power, of course. But it's easy. We receive resurrection power. Now, sometimes I often think to myself, we say these things, and if I'd sat down and hadn't done this sermon and hadn't thought about it, if somebody just said, oh, we receive resurrection power, it would have gone, resurrection, that's a long word. I don't know how to spell it. And what does it mean anyhow? And so we just twist it away, let it go. If I brought a man in here right now, there was a guy on a television recently, I don't know what he was. You're no good, you're not helping me. It was one of those, like Australia's Got Talent, but it was America's Got Talent, that's right. And the guy was 80-something years old and he was pulling a truck with his teeth. And he went out and did that and everybody was gooing and garring and ooing. You know, man alive. Who would have thought that an 80-year-old man would have had normal teeth anyhow? You know, you can imagine starting to pull them and his false teeth pull out. But here he is, he puts his thing in his gob and grabs a hold of the truck and starts to walk back. And the truck moves and he crosses the line with it. Now, that's power. That's power. How many people think they could do that? Not me. But he knew he could do it because he'd been doing it all his life. He was one of those sideshow alley guys that used to do that to make money. He knew the trick. He knew how to do it. So when we think resurrection power, all we've got to think of is, what was the power needed to raise Jesus from the dead? Takes a lot of thinking to think that. It really does. What type of power? What type of power do we need to have to pray for somebody that they might get well? It's not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. But the power that we have been given and are given through the Holy Spirit residing in us, the Bible says in Romans, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have at our fingertips, in our hearts, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I have trouble understanding that, I must admit. But I don't have trouble believing it. Because I know that if God says so, then he says so. The real trouble is acting on it and doing it. I can't do that. But if you do it once, you can. We went away camping with our children and our grandchildren at Christmas. We had 10 wonderful days of camping. And just by chance, we had to go firewood hunting. And just by chance, there was a massive great tree that needed to be chopped. And so we brought back these great lumps of wood. And I mean great lumps of wood. Too much wood to chop at the start, so we just put them standing as billets, as little things on the ground. And it wasn't long before the older grandchildren started climbing on them, as kids do. Then they started jumping from them, one to another, to another, to another. And so we spread them apart, and we put tall ones and small ones, and so we made it like a little bit of an obstacle course. And then there was one that wobbled, that wasn't that stable. And we saw the kids running across these, the older kids that were. And of course, my immediate mind says, there's going to be an accident soon. There's going to be skinned shins soon. Didn't happen. But then what surprised me was not the older kids doing it, but the 18-month, 15-month ones getting up and doing it. One of them would go wobble, 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 wobble. I like the wobble bit. But the thing that it showed me was that as they got used to doing it, they became more confident, more comfortable. We could spread them out further. We could make them higher. They weren't worried about falling off. They didn't need a hand to hold on. We have power to do the works of God. We just need to step out and start to do it. And as we do it, and as we start to see God move in his power through us, like he did in the book of Acts, then we'll become more confident in doing it. I have a couple of people that have got some incredibly great testimonies that I'm going to ask them to share in the coming weeks. Testimonies of how they got saved, testimonies of how God used people to get them saved, and then testimonies of how they have put into practice what they experienced. Not with a lot of teaching, just with the knowledge and the fact that God changed me and so I can do it for others. We have resurrection power. When this power comes into our lives, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive many things. And again, we tend to concentrate on a limited aspect of the actual working of the Spirit of God. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now you might say, hey, that's not much. But then think about it in the light of when people are looking at you and they see where you would normally be worried about something, you have peace. When you'd normally fly off in a rage, you have self-control. When I got saved, or when I asked Jesus to be Lord of my life, which is where I really see my salvation experience done, because that's where I put Christ at the throne of my life, where I started to be led by the Spirit, where I started to allow the Spirit to operate in my life, I used to swear like you wouldn't believe. I was an incredible profaner, an habitual profaner. I couldn't say a sentence without three or four good words coming out. When I say good, bad words coming out. Really, really bad words coming out. I was a pipsqueak. I was small, short. I was a snotty little-nosed brat trying to be big because I was insecure about being small. And I used my mouth to be tough. I worked on the wharves. I worked on ship engines. I worked with some rough and tough people, some real men. You know the thing that they noticed the most that had happened to me wasn't that I'd stopped smoking or anything like that. It was that I wasn't swearing anymore. Holy Spirit came into my life. I didn't ask not to swear. There was a seal, there was a change, a transformation. The fruit of the Spirit that we have, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, is the Holy Spirit working in us. And we've got to know that people watch us and look at us. People will like what they see. And God will use that to add to his church. So there's an aspect of the Holy Spirit coming to our lives straight away that isn't weak and wishy-washy. It's powerful. Fancy having God's love. God's love, his agape love. His love to be able to look at people in the light of who they could become, not what they were. Fancy having joy. Joy unspeakable. You know, you can be in the midst of the most miserable situation, you can still have joy. Peace, well, I've spoken about peace because peace is one of those incredibly rich things for me. To have peace and not turmoil in your life is just the most transforming thing. For people to look at people who've got peace, it's like a magnet. It's something that they want to be drawn to. Gentleness, self-control, amazing things. And then, of course, we Receive all the gifts or the gifts of the Spirit, differing gifts, the Bible says. His body receiving them. We talked about those. We opened them up at length. To prophesy. To be able to serve, to teach, to encourage, to give. The gift of leadership, the gift of showing mercy. To have a message of wisdom or a message of knowledge. To have that supernatural gift of faith that makes you different to everybody else. A gift of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. The Bible says all of these are the working of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Why? So that again the world would see that we're doing something, not in our own power, but in the resurrection power of Christ, the things that Christ used to do. You don't have to open them up hard to start to think about it. You imagine walking down the street and God puts on your heart a word of knowledge about somebody's condition. And you just go up and you pray for them or you talk to them. You don't have to pray. You can talk to people. Talking can be prayer. And to be able to just share life and love into their hearts, to show concern. The Bible says in our church when we speak a word of tongue and we give an interpretation, it's not for us believers, it's for the unbelievers. I've shared with you before being overseas and giving a word and praying over somebody in the spiritual language that God has given me. In fact, it wasn't the one that I would normally use, it was different. And this lady saying, "Where did I learn Russian or Ukrainian from?" God used that tongue. And that tongue, not only did I see a goiter healed on her body, but that tongue touched her so much that she brought back next week about 12 of her drunken mates, all drunk, to hear what God had to say to them. And again, many of them went out of that room sober and touched by God. It's amazing when you start to use the gifts that God has given us. Then we have the graces of the Spirit. Let me read this passage for you because it's incredibly interesting. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promise that through them, these are the things we're going to say, through them you may be able to participate in His divine nature, escape from corruption and all the evil desires of the world. So for this very reason, make every effort to add, keep adding to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance add godliness, and to godliness add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. It shows a progression, doesn't it? It shows that we start here. And as we keep adding, as we keep allowing the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our lives, as we keep letting go and letting God, we grow. And we continue to grow. I look at Pastor Oxy at 98, and he is a marvel to me. Incredible example to me. I enjoy our times when we sit and chat. I enjoy listening to him talk, as I always have, because he challenges me. At 98, he would have every reason to say, "I'm just going to hang it on the hook and have a rest. I've done a good job." But no, he still listens to his word every day. He still meditates. He still allows God to speak to him. He still puts into practice what God is saying to him. He still writes to people. Jill does for him. Good on you, Jill. He still continues to operate in Christ. He's still adding. And I'll guarantee you right now, if we were to ask him, there'd be still things that he was overcoming. Why? Because it's an ongoing progression. Unfortunately, I know of too many who have given up because they don't think they can achieve. If we let go and let God, if we allow the Spirit to rule and reign, then we will achieve. says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective. They will keep you from being unproductive. Or the other way around, which is probably more positive, is that if you do these things and you keep adding and you keep moving and you keep growing, you will be more effective and you will be more productive. What an incredible thing. We have the power to witness when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We have the ability to exalt and to glorify Christ. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have a taste of the power of the world to come. You imagine a taste. You imagine if what we have through the Holy Spirit now and can do the works that God has called us to do now is only a taste. Just imagine what eternity is going to be like. The Bible says that word taste is an earnest, a down payment, a deposit. Not the fullness as in everything. It's just a taste. That says to me that we will not or would not be able to contain the power if we had it all in one bang. We have help with our prayer life. Unfortunately, too much of what I would call the Pentecostal realm stopped at speaking in tongues. Highlighted speaking in tongues, which is good, but stopped there. Speaking in tongues is just the start of all the things that God wants us to do. And speaking in tongues has been given to us. I'm talking about our individual private tongue has been given to us to help us in our prayer life. Our spirit talking, is it there? I don't know. Is it wherever our spirit is, talking and communicating directly to God, bypassing our understanding. A direct link to God and to His Spirit. What a powerful tool. Knowing that our prayers, our discussion through that tongue is building up our faith. That's what Jude says. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. I get disappointed when I hear of people who don't pray in tongues anymore. How long since you pray in tongues? Don't often do that anymore. Why not? Got out of the habit. Everywhere I walk. If I walk from here down to the stadium or up to the school on this property, I'm praying in tongues. If I'm walking down the hall of my office, I'm praying in tongues. It's just automatic. My feet move, my tongue moves. Why? Because I am building up my faith. Why? Because my spirit is communicating directly to God's spirit. Holy Spirit helps me in my prayer life. Helps me in staying connected. Helps me in communication. When the Spirit comes upon us, we get a new and a greater understanding of the Word. John 14 says that the counsel of the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And will remind you of everything I have said to you. Even the things that we don't know, the Holy Spirit will help us. I hope that you understand, we've pushed the Holy Spirit away. We've isolated him, we've pigeonholed him, we've made him fit into a little box. What I'm trying to do to you today is I'm trying to give you an understanding what the promise of the Father is and the breadth and the depth of the promise of the Father and how much is available for us to do his works if we want to do his works. We can be led by the Spirit. We have life to our mortal bodies. God's love is poured out into our hearts when the Spirit comes upon us. I had a friend once who said to me that they never had the ability to love because they weren't loved by their parents. And this person would carry on about that. I can't love my wife because I've never been loved and I don't know how to love. One day, I was young in God, young in pastoring, and one day this scripture God put on my heart. So I read it to the person I prayed for them, and it was like a light went off in their brain. I didn't have to be loved by my father and mother. Doesn't matter that I was rejected by the world. I now have God's love resident within me. And with God's love via his spirit inside me, I can love. The way he loved his wife after that was an amazing thing. Because all of a sudden, I can do it. I can do it. I have God inside of me. So when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. We receive the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit falling on us. We're endued with Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Spirit. We're baptized in the Spirit. We're given power from on high. And again, I did that demonstration a couple of years ago. I've just had a platform full of power tools and hand tools. And all the power tools were plugged in, and the power cord went back to the power socket. All there, all ready to go. All I had to do was turn on the switch. By faith, pick up the power saw, flick the switch, and it would go. And I believe that that's what it is right now with us. That we have inside of us, resident in us, everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer. And all we need to do is exercise faith in operating them. Why don't you pick one or two or three that God has challenged you on today and say, Holy Spirit, I'm turning you on in this area of my life right now. And then when you come across somebody who has a need, Holy Spirit, God commissioned me to do that. I'm turning you on. Ephesians says this, we are stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance of the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment of our heritage, in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. I believe that that's at Christ's coming. That's fullness of it. But we have so much right now. We have all of the things that Jesus promised his disciples. It's time to realize that we only need to exercise faith in releasing the power of the Spirit to start to do the acts of the apostles. We can use the power of the risen Christ right now. Every one of us, not ordained as a pastor, not a home group leader, not somebody who's in the ministry team. Every one of us can start to do this. What an incredible thought. What an incredible potential. What an incredible honor. What an incredible privilege that God has sealed us with his Spirit and has given us the power to do his works in his name. We're going to take communion right now. Amanda, would you like to come back up, please? And that song that we sang at the last, Amanda, can we do that again? Can we have those that are waiting us on the table, please, come and minister communion? When you get the communion elements, when you get the wafer and the cup, I want you to hold it into your hands right now. And I want you to, first of all, remember that we take communion in remembrance of Christ. Everything that Christ has done and everything Christ has said that we're going to do. That we hold those things in our hands in remembrance of him. And then I want you to picture right now Jesus, the right hand of his Father, alive and well. I want you to, thank you very much. I want you to think of him sending his Holy Spirit. I picture these things, sending his Holy Spirit. All right, Holy Spirit, it's your job now. Go down, fill these people, my people, with my Spirit, my risen Spirit, that might do the works that I've called them to do. They might be sealed with me. And then I want you to ask yourself, God, what is it that I have to work on now in my life to release your spirit more? What's the blockage that I might have? And then after that, I want you to start to pray for the people that God puts on your mind right now. It might be somebody who doesn't know the Lord. It might be someone who has a need. It might be a situation or a circumstance in your life. I said last week, we're going to open the altar at communion time for anyone that needs prayer. If you want prayer today, you come out, we'll anoint you with oil. Again, elders, pastors, those that I've been asked to pray for people, if you'd come out and pray for those that God leads you to pray for. Let's start to see us do the works of God.